It's The Grandstand, season 5, episode 38, Pete Money. How's it going, man?
Viva Las Vegas, man. How's my Elvis there?
Oh my God, I'm so tired of hearing that. Everybody's like, oh, Viva Las Vegas. Like, enough of it. Okay.
Yeah, even whiny ass Max at first didn't like Vegas, and then he was singing Elvis in the end. God damn. But well done, I guess. Once again.
I've got some thoughts on that. Got some thoughts, but I don't know, man. I mean, all the criticism that was put out there, I'm going to save it for later in the episode, but I was entertained. Let's put it that way.
Are we all in on Vegas? Can we make any more puns?
I'm all in. I have my own critiques, but, I think we roll the intro and get into it, because there's that was quite a weekend in Vegas.
Roll that dice, baby. Oh
my God. enough with the puns. No.
A question for all of you except Romain Grosjean.
To whom it may concern. Fuck you.
More ladies in the paddock? Yeah, more paddock access to some women. There's too many dudes.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that. Except that he was being a pussy.
You know, I was gonna get a soundbite from Vegas, but I actually couldn't find it. I couldn't. It was like somewhere in the commentary. After the race in the F1 post-race show, but Jack Doohan, James Hinchcliffe, and Will Buxton were having they were either hammered, delirious, and they probably weren't hammered, but
not yet.
At least, yeah, they definitely went and had a few drinks afterwards, because wow, dude, I mean, the times of this race. And I think if there's one criticism that can be levied at this race, it's the time. The times were, and for so many different reasons. I mean, I had an event that I was running on Saturday night, and we didn't wrap until like, you know, 1 o'clock. And so I watched the race at like 3:30 in the morning. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
Well, you were on East Coast time, or are you
East
on
Coast
Vegas time?
East Coast time. So, yeah. You know, it wasn't live, but, you know, regardless, the timing of this race was, I think that's the biggest criticism. Well, I'm sure the locals in Vegas have their own criticism of the race. But yeah, man, there was a lot of controversy going into this.
Yeah. Well, as F1 started in Vegas, FP1, we're like 7 minutes in, and Carlos Sainz goes over a manhole that completely destroys his car and also destroys Ocon's chassis. And they had to stop FP1 and delay FP2, which actually happened at 2:30 a.m.
Rough.
They extended that usual 60 minutes to 90 minutes. And because of safety concerns and I guess work laws, they had to kick everyone out because they couldn't have security there. So the first F1 practice in Vegas had no one in the grandstands. And that, my friend, is quite a sad sight.
Yeah. I mean, COVID levels, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Flashback.
bringing us back to 2020.
PTSD.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's like that Chihuahua and like Vietnam meme. All of us are just like, oh, no, not again. dude, well, Baku. That happened. Manhole covers coming off.
Shit happens on street tracks,
for sure. And you know, it was interesting because Max was very vocal throughout the weekend about his dislike of these kind of entertainment. I don't even know if you want to call it, but entertainment, because F1 is an entertainment sport, right? I mean, all sport is really, but with this, he was like, you know, there's too much of a show, you know. It's like, I hear what he was saying. He was, you know, he's talking more about legacy. You know, he referenced Monza. You had sent that video of him in the post-race interview being critical of events like Vegas.
So I think his message overall was, he basically said, first of all, he told us his opinion first, that he gets more excited racing cars in Monza, Spa, and classic tracks where F1 cars are really pushed to their maximum. And I think also Alonso said, you know, cars are not made to go this slow in certain corners and tracks that have this little grip, and which is true, right? And Max also said he is more concerned about educating people about F1, what they're doing there, instead of just making a whole show with DJs. I believe he said you can go do that in Ibiza and get fucked up. But he was saying basically that F1 in Vegas is more of like a Vegas show, and then there's F1 on the side.
Which, yeah, says the guy who's like best friend is Martin Garrix. Like, all right, man.
Hey, I never said he wasn't a hypocrite, but no. I kind of get where he's coming from. But at the same time, He's a three-time world champion. He's the face of F1, though. Let's be real. And he's got to play the game a little bit, because that's how he's gonna. That's how he's gonna pay for his trips to Ibiza later when he retires.
Go and hang out with Kimi, who we didn't see this weekend.
No, biggest disappointment.
Yeah, hands down. But yeah, man, I understand the logic completely, and yeah, to a certain extent, he's not wrong. I mean, tracks like Monza, Spa, Silverstone, even, I mean, some of these legacy tracks, you know, there is when you go to places like that, there's a lore to it. There's an emotion to it that he was expressing, and I feel that, you know, Miami and Vegas do have similar vibes as far as races are concerned, where there is no history. So they have to create this sort of this like manufactured artificial environment to keep people entertained. And, you know, in some ways it is unfortunate. You don't have that at COTA though. COTA in the States does truly feel like, you know, it is its own beast. But yeah, those circuits are different than these. I mean, Monaco even is its own show. It's just been in the sport since its inception. So, I hear him. As a pure racing fan, you know, somebody who considers himself a big racing fan, I understand it. It's not the nature of the sport anymore, unfortunately.
If you want tracks like Monza and Spa to survive, you're going to have to play the game, right? You're going to have to play the game of expanding. And if we're going to Vegas, some people said we should do a track, you know, the outskirts of Vegas and then party at night. But I think this works well. Was it a great track? Not really. But did it provide exciting racing? Yeah. So I say we have to go to these new tracks and give them the benefit of the doubt. And Vegas always needs to be treated like its own beast. It's going to be stars and glitter, and we expected that. So for me, I think it was a success, but they need to iron out a few things, and we saw that there was a few manholes coming off. Fans are dissatisfied because a lot of people that only got tickets for Thursday didn't get to see anything. So Formula One did not apologize, because we know we're in the US, and if you apologize publicly, then you're really going to get lawsuits coming left and right. There actually is a class action lawsuit coming up. So there's going to be some issues there, teething problems, I think. But I think Vegas is there to stay. And all in all, I would say it was quite successful as an event, and not as cringe as I thought it'd be.
It wasn't. Dude, I feel like Miami's more cringe, frankly.
Oh, Miami is cringe.com. Like, ugh. Vegas lived up to it. And
it goes back to what we were saying in previous episodes, right? Like, Vegas is Vegas. Like, we know it's the gambling capital of the world, it's an entertainment capital of the world. And for me, you know, with the to your point, the teething issues that happened, you know, in the early parts of the weekend, I mean, we can get into it. The race itself was insanely exciting. Like,
yeah.
that straight on the strip where they're, you know, I was joking, like they need another gear. like eighth gear is just not enough. Like they could probably go up to a ninth gear. I don't even, you know, obviously not possible, but like there's so much, yeah, just for Vegas, they just add another gear. We saw Max really had to fight for this win. Real big battle. That, I mean, the track surface was a fucking ice rink. It was nuts, dude. I mean, cars were sliding everywhere.
Okay, so not only was the track didn't have the grip levels that some permanent racetracks have, and that is completely normal, on the parade lap, which is, you know, an hour and a half before F1 drivers go on the grid in their cars, they drive out on classic cars, and a lot of the cars were dropping oil on the track. That's why you saw those white patches. That was to dry that oil. So it was a mix of low grip, green track with very little grip, and oil from the parade lap, which just meant that you saw Alonso slide, you saw Sainz slide, hit Lewis, Bottas hit, and Aston Martin as well. I think he hit Alonso. It was just chaos there.
Absolute chaos. But it set the stage for, I mean, some disappointment on the end, on the behalf of a couple drivers, but set the stage for what turned out to be, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it. It was one of the races of the year. As far as entertainment on track is concerned.
Yeah. Also, it had 99 overtakes. So that's the most we've had since China 2016 in a dry race. Because usually in wet races, we have way more overtakes. So let's take those out of consideration. But that's a lot. That's a lot of overtakes for this season. And we had a lot of overtakes for the lead. 5 overtakes for the lead. And Leclerc, my boy Leclerc, overtook a Red Bull 3 times this race. When have we seen that this year from a non-Red Bull driver?
We have not. And that, I think, yeah, Fred Vasseur said it in his post-race. He was like, yeah, normally when you overtake a Red Bull 3 times in a race, you expect to win. So
yeah. I mean, what do we need to do this year? Fuck's sake.
Yeah, exactly. Punt Max into a wall. Someone, please, for the love of God.
I mean, George almost did it. I was so happy, but he actually helped Max win this race, motherfucker.
Yeah. Good job, George. We'll get to you in a second. Yeah. No, but just to go to Max one more time, I mean, 18 race wins in one season. What?
New record, which obviously he can add one more. Also, his 20th podium of the season, which is also a new record. And Red Bull has 20 wins this season, which is also a new record. Like, where is it going to stop? This week, hopefully.
Yeah, I think it was Alex Jakes was doing the commentary for F1 TV, and when he said that number, the 18 wins in one season, it really hit me for the first time. I was like, we're going to look back on this season and be like, holy fuck, Red Bull just kicked everyone's ass.
Yeah, they wiped the floor.
Like Mike Tyson ass whooping. Yeah. Just impressive. And, you know, in Checo locked in P2 in the constructors. He did what he needed to do. You could tell that the team was, yeah, officially locked it in. You could hear the relief in his voice. I think you have to say, and the team too, I think, you know, obviously they've already got constructors locked up. They had Max winning the title, but their first ever 1-2, driver 1-2. And you could tell how much it meant to that team to do that. And also to Checo, you know, I think, and we'll get to Lewis in a second as well. And I think, you know, Mercedes is kind of scratching its head thinking, okay, we had a shot and we didn't do it. But, you know, you got to give it to Checo for racing hard and not giving into the pressure. I think we would be having the conversation, you know, he succumbed to the pressure of P2 and he didn't, you know, I think he did what he needed to do.
I would just say that Leclerc pulled off a fucking amazing move to pass Perez on that last lap. So I'm not throwing Perez under the bus. I think that, if they had managed it a little differently, he might have been able to hold on to it. But I'm more giving credit to Leclerc because that move down on Perez was like he calculated that ahead. And he had actually given Perez P2 by making a mistake of his own, overshot T1 a few laps before that. And he could just tell he was saving for the last lap. Second time that Perez loses out in wheel-to-wheel on the last lap in very, very close racing. But I think overall, you're right, man. They,
I mean, just on that point, like, it's like, oh, damn, like he did, he secured P2, but oh, man, he got overtaken on the last lap.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, at least I think that contract is safe for now. They kept saying, like, no, there's nothing in this contract that says that he needs to finish P2, but also Red Bull doesn't give a shit about contracts. So
yeah, let's look at the last few years and yeah. Names like Pierre Gasly and Nick DeVries come to mind, but Alex Albon. But moving on from Checo, the Charles had a great weekend, and Ferrari. Yeah, actually, you know, I think that's really it. Is Charles puts it in pole and then races like a madman. Incredible driving from him, and Ferrari. I you know, obviously with Carlos, he got like absolutely fucked by what happened early on, and like,
oh my lord,
to me, a huge controversy. Like, it's like, oh, I'm gonna get a 10 place grid penalty because of the incident that happened on track that was not my fault. I would be livid if I was him.
Right. So just to give everyone some context, right? So you're allowed a certain amount of components, ECUs, electronics components, and engines in a season. And when Sainz went over that manhole, basically destroyed his whole car. So he had to change a lot of parts. And the regulations state that if you go over a certain number of parts, especially the engine, you will get grid spot penalties, which he got. And nowhere in the rule book does it say if it's not the fault of a driver or team that they can actually use force majeure to remove that. So the FIA actually said, we wish we could not give you the penalty, but actually the regulations don't allow us to. So you could say that the FIA did their job by going by the letter, which they didn't in Abu Dhabi in 2021. Sorry, getting ahead of myself there, but but yeah, it was sad because not only did it penalize Sainz on a weekend that Ferrari really had a lot of pace, it also penalized Ferrari $2.5 million in repairs and a cost cap era. And Sainz would have been up there. He qualified second. He could have been, they could have played the strategy game and they could have won this race. So yeah, it really hurts, especially since Ferrari closed the gap down to Merck, who was kind of nowhere this weekend, to 4 points. They would be ahead of Merck if Sainz didn't get this bullshit penalty. So yeah, I'm fucking pissed. And
the episode just ends, your computer somehow is hucked across the entire room. Yeah, I would just hear this explosion.
Except that I don't have the money to replace this laptop. Like, for
yeah, whoops. We're not calling the FIA about that one. Actually, no, that's exactly what you do. You write them a letter, you say, like, this is your fault. All of you at the FIA, once again, full FIA rant. But no, I mean, it's an interesting thing to bring to I guess just ask yourself about, like, in this situation, if I was Ferrari, I'd be going after race organizers or someone, the sport. Like, there should really be some sort of, not reward, but compensation for moments like that where, you know, unsafe conditions led to this incident. And also, if something like that happens, it should be written into the sport that you don't get penalized in the way that he did.
There's going to be precedents here. And the reason why they didn't do it either is like what if a driver, I heard someone say, what if a driver hits a curb and damages its floor? Then you can always say, oh, it's the track's fault. So you can't set a precedent like that.
Of course. But
so maybe there'll be something in the regulations that could call for a vote. Apparently, there were some rumors that Merck vetoed the option of not giving them a penalty.
I think there's got to be some way to figure this out because it could hurt everyone. I mean, it's everybody's liable to something like that happening. But but regardless of that incident, Ferrari, I think if I was a Ferrari fan, I'd be insanely encouraged by what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, I'm encouraged, and you know, we're going to go down to Abu Dhabi and we could get second in the constructor. So that's exciting. Something to look forward to. And
didn't think you'd be saying that this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch your back, Merck. Yeah, watch your back.
Watch out. Well, I mean, Mercedes is just a head scratcher for me right now.
Yeah. What happened to Merck this weekend?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I
P7, P8, because George got that penalty. Yep. George actually was ahead of Lewis the whole time, and George actually looked like he was on form, and Lewis just was nowhere in qualifying. But in the race, had some pace. Another scrappy weekend, like sloppy, I'd say, from both drivers in the race. They both had incidents. One of them was a racing incident. Hamilton versus Piastri, do we agree on that?
I think that just boils down to racing incident.
And Russell versus Max, I think he also just admitted he didn't see him. And that was totally his fault, got a penalty. Yeah, P7, P8, not a good end of the year for Merck. I'm kind of wondering if they're just over it, if they want to just go for next year. But they're also in jeopardy of losing P2 now, the constructors.
I mean,
so
They can't, though. I mean, I think they want this. I think they want this season to be over. They're like, let's just get to 2024. But the reality is, you know, Ferrari showed that they can't back down. Ferrari clearly demonstrated that, oh, we've got some pace and some momentum. And, you know, especially after what happened with Carlos, I feel like he's going to be out for blood next week, this coming weekend. Oh, and
100%.
And Merck's got to, they better be looking over their shoulder, because that P2, there's only 4 points between the two of them. Mm-hmm. No one's safe. Let's put it that way. What I envision happening is Ferrari actually absolutely bottles it, and you're just like, oh, great. So you give me hope once again, and then you completely, completely fuck up.
I mean, it could happen. That could happen as well. I mean, don't get me wrong, but we shall see. I'll tell you who didn't bottle it, who we usually expect him to bottle it in certain circumstances. Our boy Stroll, second weekend in a row, P5.
Bro, he's looking like Jack Sparrow this weekend with that facial hair.
Yeah, he looks like an adult.
About goddamn time.
I was like, who's this mechanic? Oh shit, that's Stroll. Okay, here we go. Well, facial hair. Didn't know you could do it.
It's like the widest goatee I've ever seen in my life. It's like a chin beard plus a mustache, and because it doesn't quite connect in the middle. I'm sorry, Lance. It's not very nice, but
yeah, even when he gets his best results, yeah. Find a way to bring him down, right? Yeah.
No, he had a great weekend, and funny enough, you know, post race, Will Buxton was like, "That's the chattiest I've ever seen him," because he usually doesn't. He usually gives like the most mundane interviews you could possibly imagine. So, no, he was pretty chatty, happy with the result. You know, obviously, Fernando got spun around, spun himself around in the beginning of the race.
Yeah, spun himself around. Let's be clear on that.
He didn't touch anyone. Lance, good for him.
Still got points. So double points for Aston Martin. And with what happened to McLaren with a huge hit, Norris went over a bump and hit the wall, has to get checked out of the hospital. We're glad he's all okay. But kind of boils down to driver error there. Not a big points haul for McLaren this weekend. And Aston Martin also creeping up on McLaren. So there's some, it's getting spicy for P4 in the constructors as well for Abu Dhabi if this continues like this.
The consistency thing there is once again another problem, I would say.
It does seem like McLaren just had like a really off weekend.
Yeah, like across the board. And then obviously that, you know, Lando's crash was pretty scary. His radio was very concerning. He was like, I'm okay, but like definitely didn't sound okay whatsoever.
Oh, dude, he was huffing and puffing. And kind of missed it live. If we just saw like the end result.
Right.
And pretty high speed accident. But yeah, he'll be back in Abu Dhabi. Don't you worry.
It's a battle between him and Fernando in drivers right now. I mean, it's a battle. It's really a four-way battle, three-way battle. Could be four-way.
Yeah, almost.
I love four-ways.
It could be a good old four-way. Yeah.
Nice old-fashioned four-way.
Two Spaniards, a Brit, and a Madagascar. Yeah.
That sounds like a horrifying joke. Weird-ass joke. Yeah. I mean, Carlos, I mean, the Spaniards are tied at 200 points even. Lando's at 195 and Charles is at 188. So
yeah,
listen, another situation going into Abu Dhabi, there's still a lot to fight for these guys.
Yeah, seems like we're all looking to close out this season.
Yeah, I think we're all like, all right, enough of the Red Bulls. Straight up. But no, I mean, it's and also McLaren has 284 points to Aston Martin's 273. Alpine's pretty much a lock for I mean, they are a lock for P6. That's confirmed.
That's done. Lewis Hamilton locked up P3 also. I don't know if we mentioned that earlier. Yep. That's done. I don't know if he gives a shit personally, but it's there. He'll take it, I
another,
guess.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I'm sure he's like, he's also just like ready for the season. You know, let's be real. He's been very frustrated by this car. And quickly, you know, Williams, I mean, Logan Sargeant. Let's just talk about Logan's qualifying.
Huge, huge qualifying. P6 and P7.
Incredible. And you gotta feel good for them.
The race didn't really play into their hands though with the safety cars and tires. A lot of hope for Williams. We thought we might even get double points, but unfortunately not. But I will say that progress for Logan. He really showed that he can hang with Albon. He was pretty close to him all weekend. Encouraging. Now one more race and let's see. Let's cross our fingers. Like I want to see the kid on the grid next year.
Yeah, I think his seat is safe. I'm not picking up from James Vowles that he's wanting to get rid of Logan. I think they're seeing more from him than we're able to see, you know, behind the scenes. So, you know,
yeah. And if James Vowles wants to talk to Cadillac behind closed doors, it'd be better if he had an American driver still on his team.
Yeah, it's true. And also another, yeah, funny enough, there was a big Andretti presence at the race this weekend. Mm. But there's a lot to race for in Abu Dhabi. We've got the P2 battle between Merck and Ferrari, the P4 battle between Aston Martin and McLaren, and the P7 battle between Alfa Romeo and Alfa Tauri and Williams. I don't see Alfa Romeo being part of that, even though they're, you know, only 12 points back. Just haven't seen them putting in those kind of results. But
yeah, although Bottas made it to Q3, and once again, I just feel like Bottas puts in some performances and he just gets the shittiest luck in the race. He got tagged at the start. He could have scored some big points here or some points, but yeah, another driver that would love this season to end. And actually on that point,
he's been having a fun season though. Yeah. I was off track.
Off track, yeah. With his calendar, his beer, gin, whatever taco truck he's got going, side hustles.
Yeah, he's got the ultimate side hustle game going.
Also, the Alfa Romeos looked a lot like Mercs this weekend, their special Vegas livery. Every time I saw them, I was like, is that Hamilton? What the fuck? No, it's a black Alfa Romeo. Really, really odd.
There are some questionable liveries this weekend.
Yeah. What do we think of Danny Rick's chrome helmet?
I think it was sick.
I kind of
loved that. it was very NASCAR-esque, but like with a little bit more of a touch of class because it was chromed out. I liked it a lot.
Well, 90s chrome action.
90s blue flame chrome. Nothing like a blue flame on a race helmet. Dude, we're going back to the infamous Abu Dhabi.
Ooh, ay, ay, ay.
The place where dreams go to die.
The place where Mercedes Lewis fans won an A title, but then did not win it. Oops.
Don't do it. I'm going to forever be triggered by that. So again, there's still an insane amount to fight for a lot of these teams. And I'm as much as there's definitely some salt in my wounds still from 2021, I'm looking forward to this race. And I think the teams are going to bring some, or the elbows are going to be out, I think, this weekend for the teams to fight for.
Yeah, it's always last race of the season. Everyone's kind of ready to go off on winter break. It should be fun. You know, it's a bit less pressure, especially since there's no championship on to be played for. But as you said, there'll be some good racing because, you know, put these drivers and these cars and on a track and they're going to go all out. And, you know, Max himself could beat another record this weekend. Wanted to add one more thing because we didn't really talk about Max this, but it was an amazing race for him. He's also moved in up to number 3 on the all-time list of F1 race winners at 53, which is just...
That's insane.
Wild. I mean, he is 26 years old. Yeah. Come on.
It's wild, man. It really is. What really is mind-blowing to me is how is anyone who works in Formula One going to deal with this time change? Or like, this has just been a brutal, brutal week for everyone.
Back-to-back, going from Vegas to Abu Dhabi. Oh my God. Mean, I don't have a globe in front of me, but that's not...
I think it's a 12-hour time difference. 13 hours?
Is that why...
Well, Abu Dhabi is how many hours ahead of Paris?
3 hours.
So it's a 12-hour time difference. Yeah. I mean, just kind of incredible.
Yeah, even if you're flying private jets and all that, but it's still not easy for your body to go through all that.
But
hey, last race of the year, they can deal with it. They're F1 drivers. I would not sleep for 5 days to drive one of those. And I would crash out of the pit lane, of course. Because of lack of sleep, obviously.
Yeah, just because you're bad at driving.
Yeah, or that.
No, man, but... So yeah, we're going to Abu Dhabi post Vegas, and you, my friend, took out the broom and did some cleaning up this weekend in the Grandstand Championship.
I sure did. Ooh,
it hurts. This one hurts. I'd been in the lead for quite a good portion of this season, and you made a late season resurgence. And,
I would say mid-season. Okay, I would say mid-season.
Three quarters.
Yeah, we'll look at that in our year review.
A recap. Yeah, you got. You brought home some serious points.
Big Let's points.
Yeah. 40 points.
Yeah. So you covered me with the pole for Leclerc, which you probably enjoyed that one when you saw that.
Yep.
And I got points for Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez.
And you only got
for Perez.
Yeah. Unfortunately. And were there any Gromos this weekend? I feel like.
I don't think so.
No. The closest might be just Fernando spinning out on the first lap, but that's not so much a Gromo.
Yeah, yeah. With the oil and all, that's extenuating circumstances. Very much so. I would say maybe the track for FP1, but that, you know, no one would have called that.
No. I think next season we should expand our horizons for the Gromo.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. So it's not just a driver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be Crofty. Could be.
Yeah. Ted's going to get a few of those next year from my side. But we got to put in our predictions. And I unfortunately have to go first. It's hard for me to say that Max isn't going to win this race. And shocker. I think he's going to get on pole. Yeah. No, I just don't see anything else happening. He's going to win the race. He's going to do pole, get on, he's going to take P1. I'm going to go wishful thinking on this. I'm going to go Lewis P2 because I want to see Merck do well this weekend. At this point, you've taken – like, there is a way for me to come back, but I would have to nail all of these.
Right, and I would also have to not put Max on pole and win, which is –
right.
Let's be real.
Yeah, which you're not going to do.
I got to play for the title, baby.
I'm going to go Charles P3. I'm going to go Lando P4.
Okay, come back. Good comeback from that crash. Back.
And Carlos P5.
No Checo.
No, I think Checo's tapped out at this point. This
yeah, he's got his P2 and he's going to crash.
I'm going to go Yuki. Haven't given Yuki a Gromo lately, so that's my final prediction of the 2023 season.
Okay, well, I this is a track that Red Bull usually does really well at, even when they weren't dominating. So I'm going, yeah, Verstappen pole and P1. I'm going to go Leclerc P2, Hamilton P3, Norris P4, Russell P5.
Oh, George.
Yeah. Mr. P5 last year. Hasn't had one in a while, though. And for Gromo, hey, I think I'm going to go for Checo. Just play the numbers game.
Damn. Okay. I like that. we're really not giving Checo any love this weekend. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. I also feel like we're ready for this season to end.
Let's just wrap it up. But yeah, man, I am looking forward to seeing some of these battles. I'm more looking forward to 2024 at this point, as far as Formula One's concerned, especially seeing the push from McLaren, from Ferrari. Even Mercedes, I think should be encouraged a little bit. You know, they've had some inconsistencies, but I do think we'll see a more consistent Mercedes in 2024. But one more race, my friend.
One thing to look forward to Abu Dhabi, there's going to be some few FP1 appearances for Red Bull. We're going to see Vessi for Merck, Schwartzman for Ferrari, Jack Doohan. Pato O'Ward is going to be there. Drugovich for Aston Martin. Teo Pourchaire, who could not run last time he did an FP1 because his Alfa Romeo wouldn't start. And then we got Oliver Bearman, who I'm really excited about, and Zach O'Sullivan for Williams. So that should be pretty exciting. See some young talent and see what they can do out there.
Yeah. Did not know that. No, it's always good to see the younger guys get a shot for a little bit and see what they can do versus the main drivers. If you're not already, make sure to give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter at the Grandstand F1, and give us a little review. We're at the end of the season on the podcast, anywhere podcasts are distributed. And for my boy P Money, I'm F Knowles. We'll see you post Abu Dhabi.